12:15, good afternoon to you. Sort of a sloppy day out there now. It was so beautiful this morning when it was just snowing. It was really great, a great picture. And I kept saying, just wait till the slush gets here. You'll change your mind. And I convinced myself that I was wrong, and I did change my mind. How about that? 36 degrees, 36 sloppy degrees on the sidewalk outside. And I ask you today, if you're listening to the show, thank you so much. Consider this. Have you ever been wrong? You thought you were on the money, but realized you were way off in the weeds, about as wrong as you could be? Well, of course, if you're preparing tax documents for the IRS, you would rather be correct in your assumptions and your calculations, and I wish you good luck with that. We can help later today. So I ask you, does the IRS award mulligans if you muff a few of their strangely worded questions? Well, you know the answer. Not really. Not so much. The IRS, currently shut down by the hand of our great white father, is calling workers at home now and ordering them to show up to their federal jobs, which they may not have liked in the first place, even when they were being paid. Now, with the understanding that they will not be paid for the foreseeable future, it's a world of do as I say, not as I do. And to add to the controversy and the confusion of the already cockamamie situation in our nation's capital, this year marks a sharp departure from the traditional grim work of the federal revenuers. There's new forms, new rules, new year, new attitude, new deductions, new result, new look for the usually gray-suited government workers that we can now see in stark relief against the silhouette of the IRS workers standing broke and unpaid before the Capitol Rotunda, hands in their pockets, eyes down at their shoes, men in suits ordering sashimi and caviar behind the big wall, waiting for the delivery while locking the big doors of government so as to keep the annoying little people in the paddock. Back to work. Now, without means to feed, clothe, protect, and vouchsafe their loved ones, they've got a job with no future, no logic, no pay, but duties. Yes, plenty of duties. So are you feeling sorry for the IRS? Okay, I understand. So think of your family. Think of your future. Make it your problem to solve while the suits dine and snigger at your latest misfortune. Certain that they themselves are never going to face such a calamity. Not as long as the caviar is properly chilled and served with 100-proof Stolichnaya. That's why there's always a shadow behind the throne, ladies and gentlemen, in which the suits can hide comfortably. It's always been there, in the darkness that conceals the face, the routine, the mood, and their intent. It seems like an unforgiving climate in which to be wrong, and you would be much rather have your filings be correct, right? So to ensure your accuracy, I invite you to please listen to the rest of our program. Inside information coming your way now for the 2019 tax preparation season. Right now, today, immediately, not shut down, but wide open. And I invite you to get curious about what the IRS is expecting of you this year. Tim Dilley from Cordelnair is our very special guest who's here to say hello there. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Michael.
Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks.
You want to talk with Tim, you really should, because he has the knowledge that so few of us do have. This tax season is going to be a strange one. So call me now and find out from the experts just how strange and how different. Here's the number, 509-663-5656. That's 509-663-5656. Call and get involved with our show, and you'll be better off. You'll save yourself a lot of erasures, or I need that form again. Can you download it, please? And print it, please. And Tim, am I right about this being a different year from all the previous years?
It is. It's, with the biggest tax legislation in the last 30 years, it all feels a little disorienting, even to those of us that deal with it on a daily basis. The forms look different. There's six new schedules, and that's just dealing with the average 1040. Did you know, Michael, there isn't a 1040 EZ anymore?
I didn't know. Well, there's a lot I don't know. In fact, I learned last week in our first tax show that so much of the tax season is ready on paper by the calendar, but not really ready in reality by the government agency that's supposed to be doing this for us.
Oh, for sure. And this is not necessarily just a consequence of the government shutdown.
It's the new laws.
It's the new laws and the implementation. Yeah, we've sort of been anticipating a late start this year, although the IRS has announced that January 28th is the opening day, which I thought was quite surprising that they were that ready. January 28th is the day that they will begin accepting Form 1040 tax returns from individuals, either electronically filed or mailed in on paper.
So you've had a chance to see, is the new 1040... easy, so easy that we don't need an easy?
It's a postcard, Michael.
Good one.
Well,
give that man a bonus. He remembers last year's promises.
It's halfway to a postcard. It's smaller. It's not a full sheet of paper. But you know, it's all just kind of semantics. What happened to the form? Basically, they took a group of lines and kicked them out into a separate schedule, leaving behind a total from that schedule that will just roll forward. So it's really kind of funny in that we have many of the same lines. They just happen to be on different schedules that total on that schedule to a line that will then sum those numbers on the 1040 itself on page two. So unfortunately, I have to sort of relearn many things that I describe, like at the bottom of page one is your adjusted gross income.
Not anymore.
And now it's like, well, it's not there. It's a new line, and I don't even know it by heart yet as to what line each thing is and what schedule. So that's why I say there's a lot of changes for all of us.
There are many people like my father. He sort of loved taxes. He liked to do them. He liked to be right. He liked to get it early. He liked to get it all done. He was completely different from me. Or I'm completely different from him, however you want to look at it.
Yeah.
But for someone who's been self-sufficient in doing their own taxes, this would be a bad year to blunder forward without some help.
Ah, boy, there's a lot to understand and perhaps some missed opportunities if you had a business and were attempting to do it on your own. For the average individual, you know, I will say that for the average individual, it potentially could be easier, and that's simply because for a lot of people, the complex part of the tax return is itemized deductions and dealing with those itemized deductions and what's deductible and what's not and where does that go and is this okay? Now with the standard deduction for a married filing jointly couple being $24,000.
What was it before? About
$12,700. Mm-hmm. So $12,700 in 2017. Meant that when you add up your real estate taxes, mortgage interest, charitable contributions, and potentially some deductible medical expenses that exceeded 7.5% of your AGI, you may have had more than 12.7. So you may have itemized, but now that number is 24,000. That's quite a jump in that standard deduction, and I would say that's going to cause a lot of people to not itemize that maybe traditionally have.
Do you advise everyone to itemize first and then just see what the difference might be? That's what we sort of have to do anyway.
Well, of course. That's what we've always done, really, is look at which is greater. Is it the itemized deductions or standard deduction? Whichever one is more is the one that we've used. But, you know, so maybe last year you had $18,000 of total itemized deductions. Therefore, we itemized. This year, if you have that same level of itemized deductions, you are a standard deduction person. So, to me, that is tax simplification. Now the form itself, you know, is a little bit of smoke and mirrors as to, that whole postcard concept. It's about a third of a page now with six new additional schedules that basically, are the same real estate we had before, just on different pieces of paper.
But there are some deductions that have gone by the wayside, aren't there now?
Oh, for sure. You know, things change every year. Sometimes things change within the year. About a year ago, we were saying, if you had PMI, mortgage insurance, meaning that you have maybe newly acquired a home, weren't able to put enough down payment on that home to have enough equity, so the bank said, thou shalt purchase this insurance that covers us, not you, but us.
PMI,
mortgage insurance. And at this point last year, we were saying, you know, sorry, that deduction, which you could have added to your itemized deductions and deducted like mortgage interest, is not deductible. And then on February 8th of 2018, the Budget Reconciliation Act of 2018 came out and said, oh, by the way, we're giving this back to you for 2017. Unfortunately, you know, we had a good handful of returns that would have had that deduction of utilized that we had to amend those returns to then add that deduction. Well, that's just unnecessary additional cost.
Big U-turn in the middle of the year like that.
Yeah, so it was sort of a gotcha. That was really unpleasant, and it affected some of our clients. We really don't like those sort of things. So typically, they haven't changed the rules on us midstream like that, but that was one thing that really stung last year.
I know you guys get training so you don't have to call the IRS every 20 minutes to ask them questions.
Yeah, well, they're not answering the phone anyway. Now,
but if you that's my question. If you do need them, what do you do? You just wait till you tell your client, let's not rush into this. Let's wait till at least there's someone at the other end of the line.
Yeah, I just don't seek. Typically, I do not seek tax guidance from the IRS. It's it's kind of like a very difficult thing to get, and it's non-authoritative. So I'd rather do my own research to determine what my tax position is, and maybe that's just a matter of taking a position, but based upon my interpretation of the law. But Rarely do I seek actual advice from the IRS on a particular tax issue. Now, I may be seeking rather, what's the status of this that we've submitted? Why do you show this refund or additional tax due that, that we did not have?
So, that's fascinating that you would not call the IRS to ask the IRS about the IRS because you would get the wrong information from the IRS in the realm of possibility.
Yeah, the people answering the phones aren't necessarily what you would call the top tax experts, right?
So, but they're willing to answer the phone anyway.
Oh, they'll answer the phone and help you through, you know, common area problems and dealing with your return and specifics about your return. But I, as a tax professional, I'm typically not saying, you know, hey, is this deductible or not? I'm gonna look to the tax code, because if I rely upon the tax code, I'm relying upon an authoritative source. Whereas if I just get an answer from operator, 1234, that's not gonna hold up, I guarantee.
But operator 1434, who said his name was Roscoe,
yeah,
insists that that was deductible. Yeah, that's not good enough.
No,
that's not good enough at all.
As a matter of fact, even this is sort of funny, but people have relied upon the instructions of a tax form and publications that have to do with particular tax situations, and have actually lost tax court cases based upon relying upon IRS published publications as opposed to the tax code. And if there is ambiguity between those two sources for whatever reason, those people will lose, even if it was clearly stated in a publication, because the code is more authoritative than the publication.
Well, you're lucky in some ways, Tim. You can understand and read and comprehend tax, where I cannot. Where a simple declarative sentence is in English using words that we familiarly see in our language, but they don't seem to make any sense in that sentence.
Yeah, and of course we get, I look at the tax code, but we also have resources that, like you said, explain it in plain English.
Right.
We subscribe to tax research databases and whatnot and get those things annually.
So for people who are worried that they may have lost something valuable to them in the past in terms of the law changing, in terms of the tax law changing for them this year, what schedule, of course we're not even familiar with the new schedule numbers, are we? What sort of schedule would help them reclaim some of those deductions if they're still available?
Oh, if they made a mistake in the past, missed a deduction?
Well, you say that a lot of the lines have been simplified, but they have been transferred to other schedules. So
right.
It seems likely that before you get to the bottom of page one on the Easy 1040, you've got to have a schedule, which you don't have.
Right. I mean, they are published on the IRS's website. I've certainly referred to them a number of times already going to irs.gov, because the website is working right now.
That's nice.
I don't think it's getting paid, but but the website is cheerfully working, and the forms are available for 2018. So it's kind of been interesting to look at some of those changes in those six schedules, some of which are sort of useless. Like
he's making a face.
Yeah.
Tim's making a face.
It's like, really? We needed this? One of the schedules, and I can't remember what number it is, is simply disclosing a foreign address or designating somebody as a third-party representative, and that's it. And
that's
so,
it.
Yeah, it's like eight lines long, and that's all the information that's on there. So it's like, really, we needed an entire schedule for this? That's sort of funny to me.
Have you done a number of returns already?
No, nope. I have not submitted a single 1040 for two reasons. The first being I can't. IRS isn't accepting them yet.
Electronically, right?
Electronically, which we're forced to do all of them electronically because we're professional tax return preparers. But secondly, there are so many forms that are still not yet released by the IRS.
Wow.
So, yes, the 1040 is there, but, if you have depreciation in a form 4562, that's not ready. If you have a 4136 or fuel tax credit, 4835, a farm rental. There's just a long, long laundry list of forms that are not yet ready. So even when the season opens and everybody thinks, okay, let's go, we typically are still waiting for certain other authorizations, like the approval of forms that may or may not impact you, Michael, but some of our clients.
Certainly.
Like the 4562 is incredibly common because it's the depreciation form. So any business, rental, things like that, you know, that means we're going to hold on that return as far as finalizing and uploading it until that form is approved by the IRS.
Would that appreciation work for major purchases with someone who's purchased a computer for his work or car for a business?
Assets for a business. Yeah. That's what that depreciation is related to.
So at least that's still around.
Yeah, actually depreciation's a really exciting thing this year.
Why?
Because it got so much better. So businesses, I was talking to the chamber a couple of mornings ago about tax law changes, and you know, it's primarily business people in the room, and I'm like, this is the exciting stuff, in addition to the 199A, which is a whole nother topic. But depreciation, which is the cost recovery of assets that you've purchased for your business, is now incredibly accelerated in two different ways. The first being bonus depreciation, which just sounds good, right?
Doesn't it sound like fun?
I could call it 168K, but bonus depreciation sounds so much better, right? That's essentially where you get to when you purchase the asset, the fixed asset for your business. Now under the 2018 tax law, you can pretty much write that off entirely, 100% of the value, via bonus depreciation in that first year. So that is huge, right?
And the alternative would be a little percentage each year until it's
down to zero.
The alternative
would be, you know, most business assets, I would say, are probably a 7-year life. So under normal depreciation methods, you would get about 14% of that value in that first year as a deduction. So, you know, I've got a 86% enhancement to that this year with bonus depreciation, which we've had in the past. Last year it was 50%. But it was 50% and only on new assets, brand new. So if you bought any used asset, it didn't work. But now it's for both new and used assets. So, you know, that tractor doesn't have to be brand spanking new. It can be a used tractor, you know, a lease return tractor that I bought. So that just makes it so much more available, because a lot of asset purchases are not what they call initial use or new. And then the other depreciation that we have in hand is what we've had, again, for a number of years, Section 179. It doesn't have a clever little name.
I think I've seen that before.
Other than Section 179. So we should come up with something.
Sounds like an Air Force base out in the desert.
Area 51 and Section 179, they go hand in hand.
They're right next to each other.
So Section 179 is essentially the same concept of what I just described, where you purchase an asset and you make this election to essentially expense it all entirely. But it's different than bonus, but it can have the same impact. And you're saying, Tim, why one versus the other? And there are pluses and minuses to each. Section 179, I elect on an asset by asset basis and even part of an asset. Maybe I decide I only want to expense 3/4 of it. That's fine. I can do that. I can really be very precise with how much I elect in and out and then elect out a bonus, and I can dial in the depreciation I really ideally want using Section 179. The downsides of Section 179 is I have to have income in order to be able to do that, so I can't create a loss with this depreciation method.
Does the income have to be at a certain level?
Not at a certain level. It just has to be above zero.
Okay.
So if I have taken Section 179 and driven my business's income down to zero, I cannot do more and create a loss to offset maybe other income sources. I'm limited to zero.
What happens when that tractor breaks down? Can you lose it then? Can you take that loss, or is it just finished?
When the tractor breaks down.
Breaks down and no longer works, I have to get another tractor. Do I get any loss on the first tractor before I buy the second one?
Well, not if you took bonus or Section 179.
We're done then.
Then you have used up all of your asset tax basis in that asset. So once you've blown it all, you have no more remaining cost basis to offset. So you can only recover that once. Now, you could obviously pay for it to be repaired and then expense the repairs on that tractor. Mm-hmm. But once you've depreciated it once, you can't do it again.
Are these depreciation changes based on the fact that so many things that we buy that are vital to our business don't have a very long life, like computers?
Not necessarily. The spirit of the law really goes back to economic incentives. It gives businesses incentives to buy stuff, heavy stuff, stuff that people have to build. And so therefore, if you're buying the Caterpillar, backhoe, a bunch of people had to build that. And so that, creates economic stimulus.
Supports
manufacturing in the United States, based upon those tax incentives.
If I buy it out of the country, do I still get a break?
I guess, as long as you bring it into your U.S.
I have to bring it in somehow.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to confuse the issue with U.S., non-U.S.
Tim Dilley's our very special guest today. He works with Cordell Nair. You see from what we've already heard today that this is going to be a very different year. He's done no tax return so far. Of course, it's the January 28th is when he would do that. But there's nothing waiting to be sent to the IRS via computer because it's such an odd year. Don't tell me you don't have a question for Tim Dilley. Here's my phone number, 509-663-5656. You were just about ready to sit down at the old card table there and figure out your taxes, weren't you? Well, don't do it yet until you get some professional attention, and you deserve it. Why make a mistake when you can avoid it? Give me a call now, 509-663-5656. We'll be back right after this.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Give me a call right now and talk to Tim Dilley from Cordell Nair. He's got tax tips for you that you need to hear before you even consider opening all your mail and figuring out what your deduction was. How much did you get to Goodwill? Do you have those receipts? Well, give me a phone call and we'll talk it over. 509-663-5656. That's 663-5656. Talk with the all-knowing Tim Dilley of Cordell Nair, who's really knows a lot more about this project, which is, and I'm not exaggerating, the most different year in perhaps 30 years or perhaps longer.
Since the 1986 Tax Act, that was the last time we had such sweeping change in a single year.
He was filing for Dwight Eisenhower the last time that we had a year later like this. How much success do you think the IRS had with this, with the remake, or with the Congress had in remaking it? Do you like that? If it were all working beautifully and everybody had a job, would it be, in your opinion, as a professional, a good document, a good year for filing taxes, a fair and equitable change?
Well, I think the question is, how's this going to impact me?
And so it depends.
And I would tell you, in general, I see a lot of opportunities for people to improve their tax situation. In particular, those businesses got some new deductions and new tools in the tool chest that that could be very impactful to their taxes for 2018.
Let's see who's on the line, Tim. Someone has a question for you. Good afternoon. You're on KPQ. Who's this?
My name is Mike.
Mike, you have the floor.
Mike.
Well, I hope I have a question that has a very simple answer. I just had to start taking out money from pre-tax retirement accounts.
Okay.
And other than that, it's a very simple thing. What form do I need to do all that with now?
So that is actually reflected on one of the new schedules, and I think it's Schedule 1 to Form 1040.
Just a 1040?
A 1040 and Schedule 1 is what
is
you need.
Is that a separate form?
Yeah, so the Schedule 1 is a new separate form. One of the changes to the look of the tax return this year, like I was saying earlier in the show, a lot of lines have kind of been moved off of the face of the 1040. Actually, I'm not even sure there's any numbers, financial numbers on page one at all. It all is on page two, the back side of the postcard. And that Schedule 1 is where you actually originate the input of your retirement account distributions.
So that's actually, when I download the 1040, I get the Schedule 1 along with that?
Most likely. They're both certainly available right there on the IRS's website, irs.gov.
Okay.
And I know they're grouped together because when I've looked at one, I've looked at...
Yeah, because before I had to use like a 1040A.
Yeah, so the 1040A is gone. The 1040EZ is gone. It's all been replaced by the single 1040. So there's no other variations of the 1040 anymore.
And why is he reappropriating his finances from the from his savings program because of his age?
So what I heard was you were taking money out of probably what's like a 401k or
I've got an IRA and a 401k.
Okay, so either one
and
of those sources.
Because of my age, I got to take money out.
Okay, so you're being subjected to a required minimum distribution because you're age 70 and a half in this last year.
Correct. I wish I was just 70 and a half, but yeah.
And so that's one of those interesting IRS rules that says once you reach that age, the IRS says, thou shalt take some out of thy retirement savings.
How much?
They want their money back, I know.
It starts at about 3% of the balance at the as of the end of the prior year. And why do they want you to take that out? Because that's the only way they're going to tax you, Michael.
Oh.
I understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't like it, but I understand it.
Yep. So your Schedule 1 is where that number will be input, and then it'll flow through to the 1040 and should be pretty straightforward for you there.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, you bet.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I appreciate that very much. If you have a, and see, he had two good questions right there. So don't tell me you don't have one. You don't want to talk about taxes right now. You better start at least thinking about it in a casual, I'll do that later fashion, because this year is different from all the others. And not only are we dealing with the new paperwork and a IRS that's sort of hamstrung and a government shutdown, but all the forms are different. So the idea of just looking at it and saying, oh, I remember how to do this. Now, I advise you to get a professional like Tim to guide you through it. It'll be well worth the money. It'll be well worth the time you save. And also, you want to send it off and say, I think that's right. Have you ever done that? No, Tim has not. But I know the rest of us have. This would not be the year to say, that's probably going to work. Probably going to be fine. That's not the sort of security that we consider to be de rigueur at Cordillera, right?
No.
Not at all.
We don't sort of shrug our shoulders and say, it's pretty okay. Like that commercial that's showing.
Oh, God,
yeah. We're okay.
It should be fine. No, they don't even say that in the commercial. They just say it'll be okay.
Yeah.
And okay has come to mean nothing. We don't know what okay means.
Yeah.
That's the odd thing about it. So are you worried about this year in terms of your workload? Is it going to be
Yeah, you are. Yeah, just... because of, you know, delay just creates compression to the tax season. They don't kick that due date out. It stays there at April 15th. And so the later start you get, the more compression of the time period to get it all done.
Let's see who's on the line. Hi, this is KPQ. You're on the air. Who's this?
My name's Tommy.
Tommy, you have the floor, sir.
Hey, I got a question real quick. So I started a new business this year and had a guy working for me. And I asked him for a W-9 and wrote him out some checks, and he was supposed to get it to me. Well, he never did. Now I can't get a hold of him. What would I need to do to remedy that problem?
Yeah, so you had a contractor working for you. You properly asked for the W-9, which is a form that one taxpayer uses to communicate their tax ID to another taxpayer. And you needed that because now it's 1099 time. You need to issue that contractor that worked for you and that you made payments greater than $600 in any single year. You need to issue them a 1099 to report those payments. And if you attempt to do that without the tax ID in there, you're going down the path of correspondence with the IRS.
They won't take it.
Well, they'll take it, and then they'll send you a little nastygram back saying, hey, you didn't put the tax ID on there. Please fix that. And they can threaten with some penalties and whatnot. I don't know those penalties off the top of my head. It used to be $50 per incomplete filing. So per 1099. So if you had 10 of them, that's $500 penalty. So kind of nasty to have that. So my recommendation, Tommy, would just be to keep pursuing that contractor to get that information, that tax ID. And, you know, it is not, sometimes I get calls saying, you know, should I provide this to them? It's like, well, yeah, you actually have to, in order for them to report that properly on the 1099, which they are required to do. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, and so I need to have that out. And all of my other ones, I need to have them, all my 1099s out, yep. prior to the end of the month. Do
end
I
of
not?
The month. Yep. Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Thanks for that call, Tommy. Go ahead, Tom.
Real quick, I also rented some equipment to the other contractors. What do I need to do to show the income on that? I mean, do I need to write them anything or?
No, so in this case, you rented some of your equipment to somebody else. In this case, they may be asking you for a W-9 because they paid you rental income, and that is actually one of the lines of the 1099 miscellaneous form. I think it used to be line 6, rental payments. So in this case, it's their obligation to submit that to you. You, of course, just have to report that revenue on your tax return. And the 1099 is just sort of that way that the IRS gets clued in that that you should have that on your tax return.
Got it.
So you're actually fine in that case. Nothing for you to report back to them.
Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. I love the show, and quit ordering the snow.
I'm sorry. I put in that order by mistake last night. I didn't know what I was doing. It was in my sleep, Tommy. I do apologize. We'll be back after this on News Radio 560 KPQ. Our special guest is Tim Dilley from Cordell Nair. You have an IRS question? Call me, 509-663-5656.
This is Miguel. His minivan's battery died in a very busy mall parking lot. Unfortunately, Miguel doesn't have AAA.
Stinking good-for-nothing, biggity-boggity battery!
Daddy, what's a biggity-boggity?
For anyone to ride. With 7 trips a day, you can pick and choose when you want to head to the ridge or call it a day. For information on exact routes and schedules, visit linktransit.com or call 662-1155.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
12:52 here at News Radio 560 KPQ. My very special guest from Cordell Nair is Tim Dilley. We're doing tax questions today. Hi, this is KPQ. You're on the air. Who's this?
Oh, yeah. My name is Ray. I just had a real, real quick question. Is there somewhere we can go, like down to the library or somewhere, to get a detailed booklet or pamphlet to tell us where to start on all this? So before I order my forms from the IRS.
Ooh, boy. I do not know where these resources lie these days.
In hard copies.
In hard copies, right. I can tell you that, you know, the IRS for years now has been so focused on driving people to the website. I'm not sure that the library likes people there downloading lots of forms. It seems like I said something a couple of years ago and then got corrected by some of the folks there, and so I don't want to speak for them, but I know, and also the Senior Center has their free file system, and I'm guessing that those folks are either armed with software or some hard copy resources, but I don't know if there's sort of at the federal building any federal forms available.
Do any of your pals have a computer and a printer?
My wife does, so I'll have to just talk to her.
Yeah, IRS.gov, and I gotta say, they've actually done a pretty good job of getting their website robust enough.
I just thought maybe I could go down and get something I could actually read.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that call. Thank you all for your call. Tim, thank you for your help and your expertise.
You bet.
Let's do it again.
Okay.
Next Thursday on News Radio 560 KPQ.
You're listening to The Agenda on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
Up 139 points to 24,346.